WWE Crown Jewel comes to you live tomorrow, 12 noon Eastern time as I record this. And it's time for the listeners of this show to have a voice, and we get to hear what they feel about what's going on as we lead into Crown Jewel and the season premieres of both Raw and SmackDown. The rosters have now been set in stone. Do we have any surprises? Are there any trades? Let's get all of your opinions and feelings right after this. So if you guys don't know who Austin Cook is, he's a national U.S. champion in judo. He is a U.S. Open champion, a World Cup medalist, and he just launched his own YouTube channel. It's called Bad Boy Medicine. And right now there's a promo video up there. It's only a minute long and it's already got over 10,000 views. And there's going to be a lot more content coming. For example, he is going to be interviewing UFC champion Murilo Bustamante. So that's going to be going on the YouTube channel. Of course, on Instagram, you can also follow him at Bad Boy Medicine. Go check out the promo video as well. This is a YouTube channel that's going to grow very quickly, guys. Again, it's Bad Boy Medicine. So if you love combat sports and performance medicine, you're not going to want to miss this. So subscribe right now to Bad Boy Medicine. When the Universe Speaks Pod Show drops episodes almost every Friday. Join your hosts Mojo, the Big Gringo, and Rooster Boy for a beer review, a meme of the week, voicemails from the weirdos, and your live calls. Please like, subscribe, comment, and share their content on YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, and every social media platform. Of course, you can, of course, hear them on any podcast providers such as Apple, Spotify, Google, and you can even get stickers, t-shirts, hoodies, koozies, simply by clicking the links in the description of their show on YouTube or by shooting the guys a message. So when the universe speaks, just listen. Go to youtube.com/universespeaks. So don't wait. Go give these three Navy vets some support by subscribing to them on YouTube or any podcast platform. It is a really entertaining show. Again, that's youtube.com/universespeaks. And you can find them on Apple Podcasts and any other podcast app at When the Universe Speaks.
This is WWE superstar Drew McIntyre. You're listening to the WWE Podcast.
The champ is
the one that everybody wants. Me.
Becky Lynch is going to WrestleMania.
Claymore.
Austin 316 says I just ripped your ass.
This is my iron.
You're gonna acknowledge me.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to The Mailbag Show, episode number 51 of this show. One of my favorites of the week, if not my favorite of the week. And it's also our 1,004th episode of this show. I didn't realize we cracked 1,000 episodes until the last couple of days. And I just happened to look at the number and I'm like, oh, wow, we just passed 1,000 episodes of this show. It's insane. Over a million downloads, 1,000+ episodes, and 1,000 more to go, and millions more downloads to come. That's because of you guys. So if you like this show and you want to support it and you like to continue its growth, tell a friend or give us a 5-star rating and review, right? I mean, that's the best way to help us grow for free. But if you'd like to help us support the show in another way, of course, you can subscribe to us on Patreon for ad-free experience. Just starts at $1, right? And also on Apple Podcasts, ad-free experiences all the way there, right in the native Apple Podcast app. You get to try us out for a full week of ad-free listening, and then it's just $2.99 a month after that. So not too shabby. And we're going to get into Crown Jewel and all of that, I'm sure, as we go throughout the mailbag. I always say that I really don't review the voicemails or emails before I start this show. You are listening to me read it and listen to your voicemails for the first time. So I really don't screen anything. If we do have profanity, of course, I'll edit it out because this isn't a live show. But it's as live as a pre-recorded show can be, if there's such a thing. But tomorrow, don't forget, obviously is the pay-per-view of Crown Jewel. I think most of us will probably not be watching it live as we'll be working because that's what we do. And most of us, I think, will be watching it on demand after the fact. So we all have to stay off social media after noon. If you don't want any spoilers, turn off your alerts on your phone, stay off Twitter, stay off Instagram if you don't want any spoilers. Tomorrow could be the day of spoilers if you don't pay attention to just scrolling through Instagram as you normally do, or Twitter. If you're at work on your lunch break, you may end up accidentally seeing some spoilers. So keep that in mind if you listen to this before the pay-per-view. Obviously, if you don't, then you already know the results. But okay, let's dive in to the mailbag. And let's start, of course, where else would we start? This is this is just the humble beginnings of this show. There's no better place to start. No, really, a more correct place to start than with Randy. Gotta start with Randy. Randy the patron. One of the casual wrestling fans' favorite listeners of the show. Randy, here we go. So, Zelina versus Doudrop. Could they make it any more obvious that Zelina is going to win? However, watch. They will make Doudrop win, and she's going to turn into a monster heel. What do you think? Randy, you always come up with some things that just don't formulate in my mind. My feeble, one-track, repetitive mind that I have, you expand it. You bring light and you bring diversity to this show, Randy. Thank you so much. I mean that sarcastically, but I also mean it somewhat sincerely, right? Because that's what's great about bringing people on. Randy, so here's your answer. Do I think they're going to make Doudrop a heel? Why not? The only problem is WWE in general is so top heavy with heels that I'm concerned if they add more heels that it's going to be insanely outbalanced. So let's take a look at it though. So Doudrop is drafted to Raw. Say let's play your scenario out. Doudrop goes massive heel, gets a big head, plays pretend for too long that she believes she's an actual queen, and Doudrop wins. So here's who we have on the Raw side of the baby faces. So you have Bianca, number one, easily the biggest number one baby face. Rhea's kind of in between, and Nikki's in between, although they're also in a tag team division that is no longer active in the women's division. They're champions of a division that doesn't exist anymore. So I don't know what the hell they are. They're in limbo, in purgatory, in WWE purgatory. Becky Lynch, a tweener, sadly. I can't believe I'm saying Becky Lynch is a tweener. It's the kiss of death. It's a shame. I'm going to say she's heel, though. She's more heel than babyface. Alexa Bliss, babyface. Carmella, heel. Nia Jax, heel. Zelina Vega, heel. Dana Brooke, I don't care, and no one knows. I would say she's just a warm body that is there to take pinfalls. Liv Morgan, babyface. Mia Yim, Tamina. Mia Yim, they haven't really defined yet on the Raw roster. Tamina, I think she's a heel now. Tegan Nox, again, they haven't defined her. So it does seem there's a little bit of an imbalance of heels to baby faces. That said, there actually is enough room to put a heel turn in the women's division on Raw and have someone new for Bianca to work with as well. And for that matter, Alexa Bliss. You know what? I like this. I really like it. Randy, you're a man of intelligence here, because that's not a half bad idea. Just have her turn nasty. Have her just be this, like you said, monster heel. I like it. How about you guys? Because if they don't, they keep her this kind of sympathetic, just easygoing, butterfly type of character, then yeah, there's not much to that. But a heel turn, a good old-fashioned heel turn, I like it. I like it. Good stuff. Let's move on. All right. That Charlotte match with Bianca was great. My God, so many times I thought Bianca was going to win. Do you think she can actually win against Becky this Thursday? Unfortunately, I'll be working during the show, but I'll watch it later. Yep, like all of us, buddy. I think Brock and Roman, the match will be disqualified or end in DQ by Finn Balor, and then maybe a three-way. That's it for now. Okay, let me start with that one first. I don't think Finn Balor is going to be involved in this. And the reason is he's already involved in the King of the Ring tournament. And I think that he's going to lose to Xavier Woods. I think most of us believe that Finn Balor as a king wouldn't be as fun as Xavier as a king. Again, with a little disclaimer that as long as Xavier turns heel from that and eventually goes against Kofi, and the New Day officially is a, we can say rest in peace and bury them 6 feet deep, I'm all for it. So that's that. Well, I'm sure we'll get into Xavier more later, but I don't think that's the way it's going to go down, because I think that Brock and Roman are on a different path together, meaning this is the beginning of something, and the payoff is not going to be a triple threat with Finn Balor. I don't believe that. Now, that doesn't mean that he can't, you know, work with Roman again before Brock comes back to him. Certainly. But I don't think the payoff is going to be Finn in a three-way with Brock and Roman. It's not that I wouldn't book it or think it's a great idea. I'm looking at this whole thing through Vince's eyes and how he's booked in the past. And I don't see that happening. I don't. I think this is all about Brock and Roman, and that's, and probably Drew McIntyre. My best prediction is this: for WrestleMania, I think it could be Brock versus Roman versus Drew, assuming The Rock isn't looming out there and the rumors of him coming for next year's WrestleMania in LA are true, and he's not coming this year. Then it's Brock, Roman, and Drew in a triple threat for the Universal Championship at WrestleMania 38 in Dallas. So I think they're working towards that. Your first question about Bianca winning. Yeah, look, I loved that match. It's really such a treat to watch a Bianca Belair match and a Charlotte match for that matter. The match gets better as it goes on. It's not just about the near falls. It's just the fluidity of their movements, the intensity that Bianca brings to her in-ring work is not see-through, meaning it doesn't look like she's putting on a performance most of the time. She has her showboating, and she has the moments that are really, really very entertainment-y. But for the most part, she looks like she could be a woman's amateur wrestler. She could have been in a Olympic qualifying team, I'm sure. She is just an all-American athlete, and we know her athletic background, Knoxville, Tennessee, all that that we saw a month or two ago. But I'm way off topic here. So do I think she can actually win against Becky this Thursday? I'm going to say no. I think that they're going to continue to put Bianca on the climbing up the mountain journey. As I always say too, as you get deeper into the calendar year and you start to actually kind of peek in just a little to possible WrestleMania matchups, because we're halfway through the WrestleMania cycle already, believe it or not, right? Like, we're 6 months past last year's WrestleMania, which means we're 6 months until this year's WrestleMania. So we're actually closer to WrestleMania 38 than we are WrestleMania 37. Pretty cool, right? Well, also scary how quickly time goes. But as we get closer, heels as champion will become more commonplace, because you have usually better stories being told with babyfaces on the chase for those championships. So that's my guess. And I don't think Bianca is going to win a championship anytime soon, but I'm cool with it as long as they put her on a nice path that leads to even Rumble, right? Like, it doesn't have to be to WrestleMania. Not everything has to lead to WrestleMania, but that's the general ideology, I think, that they have right now of how to continue to make Bianca successful. And all of it's worked so thus far really well. So thank you, Randy. I'll be interested to hear your thoughts on Crown Jewel. And enjoy work while we all avoid social media. Stay off it, guys. You don't want to get spoiled. All right. Let's see here. Who do we have next? Miller. Oh, boy. Miller's got some things to say here. So, oh boy, he has got quite a bit of things here. So let's get going here. By the way, guys, if you want to get priority placement on the show, if you're a patron, you get up front at the beginning of the show your emails read. So, and you also get your voicemails first when we get to the voicemail section. Okay, here we go. How's it, Matt? Miller here from the beautiful South Africa. It's been a couple of crazy weeks. Haven't been watching any shows for 2 weeks, so really appreciate the reviews to keep me updated. I'm just waiting for Crown Jewel to be over and think the shows and stories would be more set and organized and leading in better directions. thanks for the shout out of Michael Gross. Sorry I couldn't keep up with the insane high pressure Matt put me on to make it for the mailbag. Sorry, buddy. But did enjoy the Raw review with you again. I'm excited to see the new storylines that can happen after the draft has happened. Jeff Hardy being on SmackDown could be great for his career now being at the end. I also think getting rid of the tag titles and rather replacing it with a single mid-card title is a great idea. But with the women's roster being so thin, could it be a cross-branded title? Probably not, as Raw and SmackDown being on different networks would probably defeat the purpose of the draft. Well, let me pause there. I really enjoyed Michael Gross's idea of the mid-card championship for the women, because it's clear that the women's tag team division will never be a consistent focus of WWE. It goes in waves. It flares up really white hot, and then it peters out, and flares up and really peters out. And this time it's just completely out. They just poured water all over that fire, and it's out. And if they're going to treat it like that, with that kind of disrespect, Vince is more focused on singles, then at least create a secondary singles championship that I think you should be able to float. That'd be cool. Just create one. It doesn't need to be one for each brand. Just one that you could have that champion float between any brand that they wish. That'd be fun. And a little bit of an incentive and unpredictability too. I'm okay with that. I really am. Okay. And I'm back to the email here. Also would leave the main title contenders being the same people, which would become boring quickly. Agreed. I really wish Liv Morgan could have gone further in the Queen's Crown tournament, but maybe this opens her up to go for the main Raw Women's Championship. Yes. See, that's the point people are missing too. And I'm glad you brought that up, Miller, is that just because Liv was has exited this tournament and she's no longer a part of the Queen's Crown, let me ask the fans this. Would you rather have her win a pretend championship or a real one? Just because she was exiled from this tournament, it does not mean they can't put her in an actual storyline to build her for a championship match. That's the key. Now, will they do it? Is there follow-through? We will, time, of course, will tell. Time will tell, but that's exactly right. My predictions for Crown Jewel, back to Miller here. Xavier and Zelina win the crowns. Yes, yes, yes. Don't know why Doudrop is even in the tournament. Reigns retains the title. Big E retains the title, obviously, as McIntyre is moving to SmackDown. Becky pins Sasha after receiving KOD from Bianca and Becky throwing her out of the ring. Yeah, that's... Buddy, you were on point here with me. Edge wins Hell in a Cell. Oh, you fell off. you fell off, buddy. I'm sorry. I love Edge and I want him to win, but I think the better, more logical ending is Seth, given Seth is more of the future still and present, but more way more than Edge. But I hear you. I hope if Edge wins, I'm not going to put up a stink. That's cool too. But okay, Edge wins, which I think is going to be the match of the night. Goldberg beats Lashley because I think that's what they want in Riyadh. RK-Bro going to retain the title. Also, to answer your question, Matt, the full name of Saudi Arabia is actually Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. It's like South Africa, or our name is actually Republic of South Africa, but it's best known as South Africa. Random fact. Well, cool. Thank you, Miller, for that. I think Amanda Jin also cleared that up for me on Twitter. She's my built-in encyclopedia. she's so quick to answer my questions when I'm confused or frustrated when they do things. She's like, oh no, it's this, and she'll send me a screenshot. So thank you to Miller and of course Amanda for just being my live Google. Thank you. Just out of curiosity, where is Asuka? Did she even get drafted? Is she still in WWE or did I miss something? She's still there. Apparently she is injured. I don't know the extent of the injury, but that is what I'm hearing. So she's still around. She didn't get drafted, which I think is smart because they don't know whenever she's ready to return what the lay of the land is going to look like. So they'll have the flexibility to just draft her wherever she's needed, which I think should be SmackDown because SmackDown is in desperate need of baby faces. So Asuka should get the hell off Raw and go to SmackDown. That's my guess. Whenever she comes back. I look forward to listening to the rest of your shows. Hopefully from next week, my life will be more relaxed and can start watching some wrestling. Well, I hope so too, buddy. But I know you have more messages here, so let's continue on. Busy listening to the Raw review and Crown Jewel preview. Definitely agree with what you said, that you have thousands of times, and what Ashley said. I'm not sure what you mean. I'm trying to reread that sentence as if I missed it. Definitely agree with what you have said thousands of times. Oh, okay. You've agreed with what I've said thousands of times and what Ashley said. The Hell in a Cell pay-per-view dilutes the reason for a Hell in a Cell match. But the Edge and Rollins story has no other way to go than doing a Hell in a Cell match. That should be the standard going forward for having a Hell in a Cell match. And what you mentioned about the blood and PG era, whether WWE is considered being a sport or entertainment, for sure other sport, such as rugby or football, the majority of the time has blood occurring, or even cartoons have blood sometimes. Come on, WWE, just a little blood won't traumatize the viewers. I don't believe they'll intentionally have blood. I think if there's an accidental cut from the wrestling gods, as I said, which we can all just kind of, you know, say our prayers for, then that'll happen accidentally, or thumbtacks, which they'll just be kind of little droplets of blood on the skin when it, you know, thumbtacks are brutal, but there's less of a, less blood there. Or maybe they can convince the sponsors of the show or Saudi Arabia or whoever would have a problem with it to just for this match incorporate it. It would be so cool to see blood intentionally done in WWE when it's needed and very rarely. And this is one of the cases I think it's needed. You can't tell somebody you're going to scar their soul and there's no bumps, bruises, or blood on them after you're done with them. I mean, it's, you know, but anyway, I agree. I think we're all hoping for it. Also, King of the Ring final. I thought that Elias, who has been saying old Elias is gone, and looking at the history, such as Shane McMahon and the greatest wrestler in the world standing in for Miz, what's the chances of Elias making a return and worming his way into the tournament and winning the crown? Just a thought, odd chance, but WWE loves the unpredictable happening. I don't think so. I think it would really hurt the integrity of the tournament. Now, some people could argue, well, there's not much integrity to the tournament to begin with. They didn't explain how the people were even selected for the tournament, which we all know really the real reason is anybody that's not doing anything and doesn't have a storyline on TV, you're in the tournament, especially for the women. But that said, I don't think Elias, they could do that, again, for the integrity of the tournament. King of the Ring is still held at a high standard in people's promos. They talk about who has won it, like Stone Cold, right? Stone Cold Steve Austin won it. Triple H has won it. King Booker has won it and made a great second part of his career. So they're still talking about those names and attaching it to the tournament, adding prestige and lineage. I don't think that they would do it. I don't know how that could happen. The only way I could see that happening is if he attacks, say, Finn Balor backstage and they have to have a replacement, and the replacement is the one who attacked Finn and Elias is the one, right? That's the only way I could see it. I hope that doesn't happen, though. I want to see Finn Balor tomorrow night or tomorrow afternoon, for that matter. I just want to applaud you and all the other hosts for doing such an excellent job in your podcast to keep me in the loop without me watching any shows and know exactly what's going on. Great job, all of you. Another thing, why don't we for the podcast have a little of a match between all the listeners and hosts, the whole pronunciation of Omos's name. I love it. Let's vote and come to a decision. What's right, either via voice or on Discord. Cheers. You know, Miller, you are another genius. I've got so many smart, you guys are like way smarter than I am, right? I mean, you should be running the show at this point. But I'm just a creature of habit sometimes. And that's to my detriment, but Miller, that's exactly what I'm going to do. For the patrons of the show, I'm going to put a poll up. It's going to be a post, but you'll be able to vote on it. And I'm going to say, how do you pronounce Omos's name? And there's going to be two choices because there can't be a third. I mean, it's either Omos or Omos. I have not heard it pronounced any other way. So I will put that up. Great job, Miller. Man, you guys are the best. All right. So let's continue on. Okay. Oh, Miller, you have one final little paragraph here. the Elias situation, as you say, things are bottled up. Well, yeah, things do bottle up inside you if you haven't especially watched it in a couple of weeks. The Elias situation being very unlikely, but what about another twist? With Sonya Deville now being back as an in-ring competitor and also a WWE official, her worming herself into the Queen's Crown final, winning it and being the queen and forcing Naomi to be her servant. I think that could be a great storyline, seeing how Sonya has been treating Naomi for months now. Also, it's one day between Crown Jewel and SmackDown show. Is that going to be the season premiere for SmackDown? Yes, it is. It is. It's going to be tough. That day of travel, I think that they're going to travel back, which is why the show is so early, so that immediately following the show, they can get the hell back. That's crazy. But no, I do believe that they'll be able to get back. Barring some kind of plane trouble that they had last time where people were stuck and they were blaming it on the government, barring that, yeah, they are going to have a red-eye flight back to the States. God bless them. I mean, my God, you're traveling, 17 hours there, putting on a show and immediately leaving 17 hours back to then put on another show? Oh, my God. Yeah, but that's what they're doing. That's what they're doing. As far as your idea about having Sonya Deville do this, I don't think so. And the reason is, first of all, Sonya Deville is not really fully back in the ring. It's like she just kind of tested the waters with Naomi. It doesn't seem like she's left the WWE official role. I was hoping she would. I was hoping that she would just vanquish that role and just Adam Pearce is fine. You know, I don't know if they just want balance or from a male and female perspective or what the case is, or maybe Sonya's just not fully ready to mentally come back full time. I don't know. But here's why I don't think it's going to happen. The biggest reason, guys, is, I hate to say it, but it's the current political environment. I don't think it would be a great idea in today's environment to have Sonya Deville make Naomi her servant. You do the calculations on what I'm talking about here. I know what you mean, and I'm not agreeing with that assessment that most people would make. I think that would be offended by this. It's wrestling. I mean, it's freaking wrestling, for God's sakes. But nonetheless, think about what I'm saying, guys. Sonya making Naomi her servant. Not a good look, right? So I don't think it's going to happen, mainly for that reason. And I don't think Sonya's going to do that to, again, bastardize the Queen's Crown. I mean, you don't want your first tournament to be a sham. But I'm a fan of Sonya Deville. Good idea, though. Good thoughts. All right. Let's continue on here. And who's up next? I'll give you a big clue. We're about to head inside the DJ booth. You guessed it, Mr. DJ Kuzmo, as he would say, is back at it again. We're going to hear from him, of course, a little bit later as well. But as far as his email goes, good grief, let's get going. So he writes in, patron of the show, by the way, much love to DJ. Hey, Matt and WWE AEW podcast fam, this is DJ Kuzmo back at it again on your mailbag show. Cues the lights, hits the music, and let's get the show rolling with another edition of In the DJ Booth with DJ Kuzmo. Well, yes, here we go, buddy. Future champion bookings. So, like I mentioned last week, before some random resident heel guy named Owen acknowledged me, I wanted to give a shout out to Mr. Casual Wrestling Fan on his game show idea that he did on the last week in review episode of booking the next WWE champion, the next Universal champion, and the next Raw and SmackDown Women's Champions. So let's begin with Chapter 1, the WWE Champion. As of now, the current WWE Champion is Big E. I am predicting that Big E will remain champion until one of those January pay-per-views or free TV specials, where he would eventually lose the title to Seth, the Visionary of Drip, Seth Rollins. By the way, guys, does anybody understand what the Visionary of Drip is? It's too close to Johnny Drip Drip. I don't need any references to moisture ever again. I have fulfilled that quota for the rest of my time on this earth. So I have no idea what the Visionary of Drip is. I'm cool with just the Visionary. So perhaps somebody can clear this up for me and I won't be so angry at the drip part. But when we would then get Big E and Seth feuding for two more pay-per-views in Elimination Chamber and Fastlane. However, at the Royal Rumble, I'm predicting that Finn Balor wins the Rumble and then challenges Seth for the at WrestleMania 38. Finn wins the WWE title, then Edge returns by hitting Seth with a spear, and then Finn and Edge have a face-off. Then Edge, Seth, and Finn have a triple threat match for the WWE title at Backlash. No. Hey, DJ. It's WrestleMania Backlash. Jeez. It's not just Backlash. We need to know what type of Backlash it is, because it's not implied. We have no idea. We need to make it WrestleMania Backlash. Goodness gracious. All right. In which Finn retains the WWE title. Edge and Seth feud one more time in a last man standing match at Hell in a Cell. Edge wins the match and Seth is off TV for a while. At the same Hell in a Cell pay-per-view, Finn Balor challenges AJ Styles for the WWE title inside the cell. Finn beats him. Then at Money in the Bank, Finn Balor challenges both AJ and Omos for the WWE title in a handicap match for the championship. Finn wins the match and Omos turns on Styles. Edge qualifies and wins the Money in the Bank briefcase as a babyface. We'll revisit this at SummerSlam in just a few moments. Bobby Lashley was a near second to possibly win the Money in the Bank briefcase. So Bobby comes out on Monday Night Raw and challenges Finn for the WWE title at SummerSlam 2022, in which Finn retains. But in the most shocking splash, guess who shows up? None other than the ultimate opportunist, Edge. He comes in, spears Finn, cashes then the Money in the Bank briefcase, wins the WWE title, and officially turns heel to shock the world. I digress. Next chapter, chapter two. The one thing I'll say about this, there's a lot here. I can't go through everything that you proposed. It just would take up way too much time. But as far as Edge turning heel, I would love it. Now, I'm equally as supportive of Edge being a babyface as I am a heel, because Edge is masterful at both. But I want to see what Edge, the heel Edge, looks like before he calls it a career. I totally agree. I want the ultimate opportunist, the sniveling, just SOB you want to see somebody take out before he calls it a career. And that's not a bad way to do it. Money in the Bank briefcase is built for situations like this. Good booking, buddy, though. Really good, but thought out well. The Universal Champion. As of now, the reigning, defending, undisputed Universal Champion of the world, Roman Reigns, is still the champion. However, before we get to Roman's next possible challenger, that's going to be a triple threat of Roman, Big E, Drew at Survivor Series. You ask why Drew is in this match and he's not even a champion. It's because Vince loves a good old-fashioned hoss match between three prize fighters and main eventers. However, Roman wins the match by hitting Drew with a spear out of nowhere after Drew hit Big E with the Claymore. McIntyre goes into a feud with the newly turned heel Cesaro after Cesaro and Sheamus joined forces on SmackDown. For the December and January pay-per-views, Roman Reigns feuds with a new repackaged Jeff Hardy, and Roman wins both matches. Drew, Lashley, Big E, and Sheamus, along with Finn, are the remaining wrestlers in the Rumble. At Elimination Chamber, Ricochet wins that match and challenges Roman for the Universal title. Roman defeats Ricochet, and then we get a returning Brock. He comes into the ring while Paul Heyman looks vigorously nervous. Brock and Roman have a face-off, and then Drew's music hits, and he's on the entrance ramp with a mic in his hand, stating that he is not through with Roman yet. He wants that Universal title and for Brock to step aside and wait his turn. Then, on Friday Night SmackDown, the week after the Usos defeat Rick Boogs and Nakamura for the SmackDown tag titles, and the Bloodline celebrates. Adam Pearce comes out to the entrance ramp and says, at WrestleMania 38, it's going to be Roman Reigns versus Drew McIntyre versus Brock Lesnar for the Universal title. Yeah, that's actually my prediction, buddy. It's exactly what I think is going to happen. Not in that exact way, but the end result is the same, I think. Paul Heyman's face is shocked, and Roman gets angry at both Paul and Adam Pearce. Drew comes out to the entrance ramp with a smile on his face and puts his hand on Adam Pearce's shoulder and thanks him. Roman doesn't have a title match at Fastlane because he defeated Ricochet in a steel cage match for the Universal title on free TV. Then comes the infamous triple threat match between Drew, Brock, and Roman at WrestleMania 38. Which comes to a screeching halt when Roman hits Brock with a third Superman punch, but Drew hits Roman with the Claymore, and the crowd goes 1, 2, 3. Here is your winner and new Universal Champion, Drew McIntyre. Drew celebrates with the confetti coming down and the crowd applauding. As Drew is walking up the ramp, Brock gives an F5 to Paul Heyman. As the Usos scramble outside the ring, then Brock gives Roman an F5 and leaves the ring. Ooh, here, I like this part here. Then all of a sudden, The Rock's music hits. The crowd loses it. Roman says, no, 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 no. The Rock reaches for Roman's hand and the crowd starts to boo, but The Rock picks up Roman while the crowd chants, Roman sucks, Roman sucks, Rocky sucks, Rocky sucks. Roman Reigns goes off TV for a while and The Rock appears on SmackDown from time to time as the newly appointed head of the table. As Kayla Braxton asks Paul what happened to Roman and where is he? Drew continues his run as Universal Champion by defeating a newly turned Xavier Woods at Backlash. You mean WrestleMania Backlash. And Hell in a Cell. I'm just being a jerk. Drew then feuds with a returning Elias at Money in the Bank. Boy, we're not going to see Elias for that long. Ooh, that's rough. And defeats him for the Universal title. After the match, Drew is confronted by Jinder and is chokeslammed by his partner, Shanky. I almost thought that said Snitsky. I don't know why. Anybody remember Snitsky? It wasn't my fault. Yeah. Anyway, this leads to a Drew versus Jinder Mahal title match inside of a Punjabi cell at SummerSlam. Drew defeats Jinder, but then a newly traded Bearcat Lee from Raw to SmackDown comes from the crowd and attacks Drew and hits him with the Big Bam Catastrophe. Drew lays on the mat while the Bearcat lifts Drew's Universal title. God, that hurts my soul to say Bearcat. There's something inside me that's like rotting away. Where am I here? Oh, so on the other hand, in Roman's absence, there has been some friction in the bloodline where The Rock is trying to convince the Usos and new member Nia Jax that Roman is using them to get what he wants and that Roman doesn't care about them. This leads to Roman returning 3 weeks before SummerSlam, building up a storyline against The Rock at SummerSlam for control of the bloodline. Roman wins by hitting The Rock with two Superman punches and hitting The Rock with a spear. Rock returns to Hollywood. Roman rebuilds the bloodline and goes on a quest to get back his Universal title to end 2022. Holy moly, cannoli, buddy. This is, first of all, it's not implausible. It's not implausible. Definitely some of these I do think it could happen. The one thing I don't know if they do though is having The Rock and Roman finally having that match at SummerSlam. Now, the argument against that would be, well, it's the second biggest pay-per-view. They are in a stadium now for SummerSlam, and you're right. But that has WrestleMania written all over it. And The Rock turning heel is also interesting. I don't know if they'd want him heel, though. That's the other thing, too. I think The Rock should return. This storyline is just tailor-made for The Rock with the whole family thing going on. But, yeah, I think that this is good stuff, though. It's good stuff. It got me kind of into it, like it's happening. All right, a few more here. The SmackDown Women's Championship. This one's not nearly as long, guys. This one, he got straight to the point. So, as of now, the current SmackDown Women's Champion is Becky, who's on Raw. So I see that possibly Becky retains the title, and then she swaps the title with Charlotte so that Charlotte becomes the new SmackDown Women's Champion and Becky becomes the new Raw Women's Champion. I think you're right. It's very straightforward. Charlotte remains the champion until WrestleMania and loses the title to a returning and newly signed SmackDown Asuka. I agree. I just mentioned that earlier. At WrestleMania 38. Asuka remains the champ until she loses the title to Sonya Deville at SummerSlam. Yeah, this buddy. Yep, you kept it short and sweet on that one, and I agree. I think that Asuka is a big time star out there looming that I think WWE needs back in a big way because they need baby faces terribly on SmackDown. Finally, Chapter 4, the Raw Women's Champion. Championship, that is. As of now, the current Raw Women's Champion is Charlotte, and of course, she and Becky are going to swap the belts, so the new Raw Women's Champion will be Becky. Becky will have the title until WrestleMania 38, and she loses the title to the winner of the 2022 Royal Rumble, Rhea Ripley. You're saying she's repackaged as a babyface, okay. In the meantime, Bianca is in a tag team with Mia Yim, and they feud with the newly new women's tag champs of Queen Zelina and Carmella. Rhea remains the champion until June or July, then loses it to Becky. Then Bianca challenges Becky for the title at SummerSlam and wins the title to finally get the SummerSlam victory that was stolen from her when Becky came back to squash her in 26 seconds. Yeah, I like that. I like the poetry there of what goes around comes around with Bianca doing the same thing to Becky. That'd be pretty cool. These four major title storylines are not set in stone, and there's a possibility of things that might happen from now until next year's WrestleMania. Wrestlers that might be off TV, return, debut, don't forget injury. Yep. Okay, so quickly, your crown jewel predictions. King of the Ring finals, you're saying Woods wins. Queen of the Ring or Queen's Crown, Zelina wins. Goldberg wins. Yep. Sadly, Big E wins. RK-Bro wins. Becky Lynch wins. Yeah, dude, you're in lockstep with every choice I made for Crown Jewel. This has been another edition of In the DJ Booth with DJ Kuzmo signing off. Peace. Catch the rest of the predictions on the voice recording that is attached to the email. Yep, so we will get to that. You're saying that shout out to Brad and a major announcement. Interesting, buddy. All right, well, we'll get to the voicemail once we get to that section. We don't have too many more emails, so we're getting close. All right. So our next email comes to us from, who is this here? Maverick. So here we go. He says, "Hey Matt, it's the gardener's nephew again, and I've never written to the mailbag, but figure I'd bring up a topic that my uncle and I discussed a little, which is Buddy Murphy. We believe he will end up in New Japan. And if so, what matches would you want to see? Personally, I would want to see Murphy versus Jay White or up against, Naito. Also, would you add any sort of stipulations to the match type? Just an idea." Well, listen, buddy, I sadly am not privy to the New Japan current product. So that's actually, we had somebody who did do New Japan for a little while on the show, and it didn't work out too well for other reasons, but I don't know the product very well. That said, I do know Buddy Murphy, and I have been, maybe you have as well, have been kind of keeping up with him on Instagram, and the dude looks jacked. The dude is in crazy good shape. Credit to Buddy Murphy. He looks he must eat, breathe, and sleep inside the gym and have an IV of protein powder running through his veins. The dude is just crazy right now. So credit to him. But that said, you know, I'll take your word for it. I mean, Murphy versus Jay White or up against Naito, sure. I mean, honestly, you know, that's why I called this the WWE podcast, right? Because if I named it wrestling podcast, then I should have knowledge or working knowledge of all promotions, of which I don't have working knowledge of every promotion, especially the current product and current wrestlers on every promotion that exists currently. So right now, my scope of knowledge is NXT to some degree, obviously the main Raw, SmackDown, and AEW also to some degree. So that's pretty much it. Very limited on Impact or on New Japan or any other like a Global Force or anything like that. So yeah, there it is. I'm not going to try to beat around the bush, but thank you, buddy. And if you have a WWE related question, then you'll make me feel smarter. So make me feel smart, man. I don't want to be called out on my own show, but thanks. Thanks for the email and for making me look like a fool. Good stuff. Of course, I'm kidding. All right, let's move on and let's get to. Oh wait, let's see. Who is this? Sierra Hotel, India Echo Lima Delta Shield. Oh boy, I think I know who this is. Let's get to it. Listening to you and Anthony discuss a potential Roman Reigns face turn had me reflecting on how I felt about Roman when he was the Shield and burst onto the scene. To his eventual heel turn. Although I did eventually turn to seriously dislike the Roman's character, this was later than most as I saw what they were trying to do with Roman. There was always something that I loved about when he would tap into his darker side while being the smiling baby face. If WWE were to turn him face, this is how I would do it. Okay, well, first of all, this is our resident heel, Owen. So prepare yourselves, guys. Scenario 1. Paul Heyman. This is definitely a long shot, I'm a smart guy, unlike many of the listeners of this show. Told you guys, I should have had a trigger warning. So no, this storyline has a very slim chance of ever developing, but this is something that I would love to see. First of all, at Crown Jewel, Paul Heyman tries a slight distraction to try and aid Brock, but it fails. It has to be something minor, as it should not break up the bloodline, but only further the sense of distrust between Roman and Paul that we're starting to see now. Roman would be victorious over Brock. Yes, first of all, that's exactly what I said, that it's a plausible deniability that Paul could have, but he's truly trying to help Brock, even though he could easily have an excuse of why he wasn't. But it'll continue to seed and water that distrust and erode that relationship, whatever analogy you want to use, but that's exactly right. In the following weeks, we see the WWE management become frustrated at Sonya Deville for her actions, and Adam Cole walks away from the company as he's had enough of Sonya taking full control. This is all in story, by the way. Yes. This leads to Paul Heyman offering himself to become a WWE official, which is reluctantly granted. In the following weeks, he makes decisions to aid Brock and put down Roman. This causes a natural support starting to build for Roman. Behind Roman's back, we start seeing glimpses of Paul building up some sort of plan. We now have reached Mania. Paul Heyman has been a WWE official for around 4 months and is the most hated man in WWE. WrestleMania, the main event is Roman versus Brock for the Universal title. Spear. The match looks over. 1, 2. Roman gets pulled out of the ring by his cousins, the Usos. This was Paul's master plan. The referee goes to call off the match as Paul runs out calling for the match to be continued or the referee will be fired. F5, Brock wins. The following scene will be Brock and the Usos beating down the defeated Roman in a way so brutal, even the biggest Roman hater is feeling sorry for him. It's hard to watch. People are turning away in disgust. Then the music hits. If you smell what The Rock is cooking, The Rock comes out to aid Roman and gives him a respectful hug and handshake. And there you go. You have a babyface Roman. I know that by WWE doing this, they will cut the chance of doing Roman versus Rock. It's just a fantasy story I came up with, so I hope you all enjoyed. I know this is pretty long, but I make no apologies. My emails are the art that you all should be thanking me for sending in. Lots of love, and only myself, your resident heel Owen, sent from the words of God. Oh my, oh my. Well, at least Owen is modest about his abilities. You know, there is that. His ego's in check. He understands his role in the show. It's just he's very subdued. So that's good, right, Owen? Oh my, oh my. Good stuff. Yeah, well, yeah, I feel like on this podcast or on this email show right now, on the email portion, that I'm just basically a narrator. I'm a voiceover right now. You guys are coming up with so many great scenarios that I really do. I feel like a narrator. So, Owen, good stuff, though, buddy. There's, I think, a lot of truth in some of that. But do I think it's going to be babyface Roman versus, you know, teaming up with babyface Rock? No. If you're going to bring The Rock back with Roman in this scenario, in any scenario, you got to put them against one another. Nobody's going to want to see them team up without first going at each other. It's not plausible. I don't think. And the fans would be like, what the hell is going on? Let's just get to what we should have been getting to. All right. So Dennis writes in, he says, hey, Matt, can I watch this pay-per-view early? I lit like 7 p.m. in the evening because Saudi is 2 hours behind us here in Ireland. Makes a change from staying up all night watching a pay-per-view from the States, but I'm looking forward to Crown Jewel. I'm recovering from a little injury. Well, Dennis, hopefully your injury does heal. Not sure what happened, but best wishes to you. As far as the time, if you want to watch it live, then if you're 2 hours behind Saudi Arabia, that means that it's 10 a.m. when the pay-per-view starts for you. So if that works for you, then certainly watch it. But otherwise, on demand is going to be the way most people watch it. Okay, let's get to, oh goodness, the casual wrestling fan. Here we go. Interesting email. Not a typical email, but hey, Matt, is Mr. Casual Wrestling Fan here? Here are some spoiler headlines for Crown Jewel. Huh. I'm going to read them to you guys, and I want to know what you think about it. These are interesting. Roman Reigns and retains. Paul stayed loyal to the Tribal Chief. Edge and Rollins burn it down. Rollins rolls Edge. Mansoor stands tall in the kingdom. Goldberg doesn't deliver on promise. Becky retains amongst controversy. From Prince to King Balor, RK-Bro outlasts almost phenomenal. Long live Queen Vega. So you're asking, what do you think about the viability of these predicted headlines? That's all for this week. Takeover coming soon, Mr. Casual Wrestling Fan. Well, listen, buddy, you let me know when you want to do the takeover, especially if you want to, you know, get the Mrs. Casual involved, Mrs. Casual Wrestling Fan. People love that. But of course, you can always just say, hey, I want to do the mailbag this week, and I will toss you the mailbag baton, buddy. As far as these headlines go, I think that the most likely ones to become reality is Becky retains amongst controversy. I think that's one. I think that Mansoor stands tall in the kingdom is another. I like their first one. Roman reigns and retains. There's a bunch of levels of kind of puns and also clever use of words in that one. I like that one, but I also think he's going to retain. So it's good stuff. And I think that's probably, and the final one is from Prince to King Balor. Now, I don't think Finn Balor is going to win, but if he does, that's the headline. I like that headline. And I don't think Long Live Queen Vega is going to make it because Charlotte uses that phrase. You know, Charlotte uses Long Live the Queen. So it's going to be interesting to see whoever wins this to confront Charlotte, how that all works. Because Charlotte is essentially your resident queen. So why wasn't she involved in the tournament? I mean, she's champion, but nonetheless. So good stuff, buddy. I did not expect that email from you. Did not expect it, but feel free to write me or you know, of course, we'll be in touch about whenever you want to do a takeover show, and good stuff. All right. I am happily going to say that we are taking a quick break. I need a break for sure. And it's time to pay some bills, give a little love to the sponsors of the show. And then on the other side, we are going to get right to voicemails, starting off, of course, with patron, longtime listener, Mr. DJ Kuzmo, with his thoughts for this week. So stay right here. So if you guys don't know who Austin Cook is, he's a national U.S. champion in judo. He is a U.S. Open champion, a World Cup medalist, and he just launched his own YouTube channel. It's called Bad Boy Medicine. And right now, there's a promo video up there. It's only a minute long, and it's already got over 10,000 views. And there's going to be a lot more content coming. For example, he is going to be interviewing UFC champion Murilo Bustamante. So that's going to be going on the YouTube channel. Of course, on Instagram, you can also follow him at Bad Boy Medicine. Go check out the promo video as well. This is a YouTube channel that's going to grow very quickly, guys. Again, it's Bad Boy Medicine. So if you love combat sports and performance medicine, you're not going to want to miss this. So subscribe right now to Bad Boy Medicine. When the Universe Speaks Pod Show drops episodes almost every Friday. Join your hosts Mojo, the Big Gringo, and Rooster Boy for a beer review, a meme of the week, voicemails from the weirdos, and your live calls. Please like, subscribe, comment, and share their content on YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, and every social media platform. Of course, you can, of course, hear them on any podcast providers such as Apple, Spotify, Google, and you can even get stickers, t-shirts, hoodies, koozies, simply by clicking the links in the description of their show on YouTube or by shooting the guys a message. So when the universe speaks, just listen. Go to youtube.com/universespeaks. So don't wait. Go give these three Navy vets some support by subscribing to them on YouTube or any podcast platform. It is a really entertaining show. Again, that's youtube.com/universespeaks. And you can find them on Apple Podcasts and any other podcast app at When the Universe Speaks.
Welcome back to the WWE Podcast. Let's get back to more great wrestling audio.
Hello, WWE Podcast World. This is none other than DJ Kuzmo back at it again on your mailbag show. Recording live once again on a beautiful, wonderful, glorious Tuesday evening. And before we get started, let me just get this off my chest. I am making a major announcement tonight, folks, and that is that your boy DJ Kuzmo has finally passed his road test. After not just one try, after not just a second try, but on his third try, I have finally passed my road test. I have mastered, I have defeated and slayed the beast known as the Parallel Park, which was always been that thorn in my side for the past couple of years. I have finally passed my road test. I'm getting my license really soon. And boy, oh boy, I am going to be hitting the road, doing some DJ events. No more Uber, no more Lyft, because for God's sakes, those prices up here in the East Coast, especially New York City here, for Uber and Lyft is downright expensive. So I'm so happy right now that I passed my road test, I'm getting my license, and I can finally start hitting the road and making some moves. Now, before we even get to the whole, shall I say, WrestleMania Saudi Arabia, I want to give a quick shout out to Brad from Pennsylvania. I remember he did mention about how the women's tag team division doesn't make sense. What's the point of having it? And I totally agree with you. And man, oh man, this should be an opportunity to get rid of the women's tag team title on the main roster, because outside of the Nikki A.S.H. and Rhea Ripley, who else is there next in line to face these ladies? Absolutely nobody. And they should basically get rid of these tag team titles, replace it with some sort of mid-card belt that both the woman from the SmackDown roster and the woman from the Raw roster on the mid-card could challenge for this title. I recently saw that that AEW, they're introducing the TBS title, you know, a TV title for the women's mid-card division, and the belt looks beautiful. So I don't know what WWE has in store, and having a mid-card belt, I'm all for that, because the women's tag team division is obsolete. And what's the point of even having tag team champions for the women's division on the main roster? Now, let's get to the crown jewel, or as they may want to call it over there, WrestleMania Saudi Arabia. That's right, man. I'm calling it WrestleMania Saudi Arabia. I will not be watching the show live like the rest of us. I will be working from home, and I'll most likely be watching Crown Jewel probably later on Thursday night or early Friday morning. But this is a stack. This is a pretty much a stacked show. I think there's about like nine matches. Of course, it ain't a Saudi Arabia show without none other than our hometown boy Mansoor taking on Mustafa Ali. So I know this is going to be a huge match between these two. Most likely, this may start the show or be on the pre-show, but I am going to go with Mansoor. How can you not go against Mansoor? For some reason, Mansoor has some unbelievable mystical powers that he has an undefeated streak in Saudi Arabia. So I am booking Mansoor to defeat Mustafa, whatever you call his name, and win this match. Now, I know there are some other matches that's on the card, but I want to focus on one of the two most pivotal matches. And that's none other than Edge versus Seth Rollins. This was one of the best non-title feuds that we have seen in a long time. And it seems like the chapter, the book, is going to be finally closed in a Hell in a Cell match. Hopefully we get to see some blood. But I am picking Edge to win this match. Of course, Edge has been on a tear with his promos and having, you know, the back and forth feud with Seth Rollins when Seth Rollins came to his house and the whole thing with the door being unlocked and all that crap. But overall, this was a fantastic feud. And to see this feud come to an end at Crown Jewel in a Hell in a Cell match will be awesome and one of the greatest matches that Edge has had since he has came back to the WWE. So I am booking Edge to win this match. Seth Rollins has a lot more to do. Hopefully in the near future he gets back to that main event scene. But the next match, one of the biggest matches on the card, none other than Brock Lesnar versus none other than the Tribal Chief, Roman Reigns. As they go about in this Universal title match, I know that everybody is looking for Roman Reigns to win this match. I'm also picking Roman to win this match because looking at the contract, looking at how Brock Lesnar is not going to be making any other appearances, it seems most likely that Brock Lesnar is going to lose this match. However, whatever the case may be, whether it's a hook or crook with the Usos getting involved or Paul Heyman getting involved, or maybe we get a new member joining the Bloodline, probably getting involved. Whoever or whatever happens, Brock Lesnar most likely is going to lose this match, and the Tribal Chief, Roman Reigns, will continue to become our Universal Champion. So that being said, I will not be watching this show, this pay-per-view live. I'll be watching it on replay. So I hope you all have a blessed week. Enjoy the pay-per-view if you can. And I am finally passed my road test. I finally slayed the beast and I have conquered getting my driver's license. So thanks again, once again. I will talk to you all next week.
DJ, congratulations on getting your license. Definitely liberating, I'm sure. Hopefully you get a lot of actual DJ spots and you don't have to be paying Uber and Lyft anymore and things turn around for you. That's great. I have to say, you know, when I got my license, it took me 3 times. I don't know how many times it took you, but it took me 3 times. The parallel park was the tough part for me. I was 16 and I mean, 20 years ago now for me. You know, it's actually amazing too that they don't retest people. Like there's not some annual recertification or even like every 5 or 10 years you have to go and just, you know, make sure that you're still not inadequate to drive. You know, there's so many people on the road that would just be off the road if I think that was the case. So it's kind of crazy that you only need to show it once. And but anyway, as far as that goes, man, that's awesome. I know what it feels like to fail a few times on that. I remember, again, for me, I was 16 and I failed twice. I failed twice because of the damn parallel parking, of which, oh, by the way, how often do we parallel park? Is that even a thing anymore? We have cameras on the cars. I don't parallel park. If I had to parallel park now and I have like a state test, like up in here in New York, and I had to have a state employee in the car, I would fail the road test flat out. I mean, if I had to recertify for my license and it was dependent on me making a parallel park, I would just hand my license over and be like, yeah, it's not going to happen. I haven't had to actually parallel park in real life. And like, I don't even know. I honestly don't even know. It probably like 15 years. I mean, I also, you know, I don't live in the actual city. I have my own home, which I can park in the driveway. And for work, I park in a garage. So that's also the case. But if you live down in the city, I could see where it's actually applicable on your day-to-day basis. But congratulations on that, buddy. Great achievement, and you have your freedom. So go make that money. Stop spending it on Uber and Lyft. Although I actually was an Uber driver and Lyft driver for a couple of years. So until I did this more full time. Anyway, yeah, look, good stuff on your predictions for Crown Jewel. The Roman Reigns thing. Look, Roman Reigns, I think, like you said, he's going to retain, and it's going to be Hook or Usos, or like you mentioned, maybe a third member we're not even thinking about, or fourth member for that matter. But I don't believe so. I do believe it's going to be Paul Heyman who costs Brock the match, but in a way that looked like maybe he was trying to help Brock and it backfired. And that way he could still stay true to Brock, who he's truly, I think, underneath it all, loyal to, while also being able to have plausible deniability to his tribal chief that, no, I was actually trying to screw Brock and help you. And so he's going to try to play both sides where it's plausible for both. It's going to be really genius, I think, how they do this. And with Paul Heyman involved, I think, in his own match, I'm very curious to see how it all ends there. Yeah, buddy, I'm looking forward to it. Thanks for calling in. Thanks for the emails. And as you said, I'll talk to you next time. All right. And let's get to our next voicemail here. And this is Memphis Mark. And he's got a few voicemails here. First time caller, but a great guy on Twitter. And so just bear with me. I will play these voicemails back to back to back. They're not long. But I want to stitch them all together rather than having, you know, three or four individual ones from the same person. So here we go. Here is Memphis Mark.
This is the original Memphis Mark coming to you from God's country in Tennessee. My biggest problem with Raw this week, I would have to say, is I'm tired of seeing everybody signaling their moves or tipping off, pushing out of pins way too early with no lackluster appearance. It's just, I'm tired. It's almost like they're lazy. I will say one thing about AEW. The guys seem a little hungrier and a little more on their fundamentals. But that's enough of that. Big E, what the? All right. And then Raw. I'm going to give it a D- this week, and I haven't given Raw a D- in my books. I can't remember when. But I think overall the show, the writers, I just hate to see something that I love so much not being taken care of. It's like selling a car to someone that lives across the street that you loved, and they're just kind of dogging it. My opinion. Great show, guys. Talk to you later. Hey, guys. This is Memphis Mark. You know where I'm from. And just a few quick points to maybe get y'all to correspond with. One of them was the Charlotte Flair. She's starting to really dress like her boyfriend, it seems like. He's having a big influence on the clothing choice. Interesting. The Daniel Bryan match, the lights out match, the dark match, whatever you want to call it, I thought was fantastic. It was really surprised me. He made the old gentleman look good. The old gentleman looked pretty damn good. And Tony Khan doing the dark matches on the night that they didn't have anything on because of baseball, I thought was a brilliant marketing move. I hate the 24/7 belt. That's all I'm going to say about that. Big E, it's never going to change. And what was that ending with the handshaking and everything? I mean, anyway. All right. And almost, whatever the heck his name is, he talks. It's kind of surprising. And still doing the promos with Kevin O. So I'm not Kevin Owens. I'm not really sure about that. One thing I did want to say something about was the miking of the mats. And everybody's got to know where the mics are and everything. But besides some of the sloppy kickouts and some of the things they've done in the past weeks, I didn't really see anything this week. The mics are too much. You can hear them sometimes when they're in the corner getting ready to get on the same page with each other, and I really don't like that. And the last quick thing was the stone. I've got friends everywhere that we discuss wrestling, and stoners everywhere are a little pissed at this. And to add, they want the smoke at the end and not at least something with it. Come on, guys, enjoy the show. Hope everybody has a great night. Hey, Memphis Mark, I just wanted to say I didn't add this in my previous message, but I've tweeted a few of the old school matches to all you guys and gals, and I'd really like to get some of your actual comparing old school to new school as far as what I was brought up on and a lot of people my age and what guys 20 years younger than me, what they think, and even to today's. I think it'd be an interesting topic for a show sometime. There again, thank you and have a great night.
Hey, this is Memphis Mark.
Just a couple quick things. One thing I would like to say, I think Andrade has rubbed off on Charlotte Flair, really doing the big time outfits when they're coming out now. They look a lot alike. Big E. Come on, man. What's up with the shake? What's up with the ending? I mean, they've got to do something to change that character, but I guess I'm beating a dead horse on that one. Hate the 24/7. And, y'all have a great show.
Hey, Memphis Mark. Great name, by the way. Love the name. It feels like you feel like a superstar already. It's great to see you on Twitter. I see you very active on Twitter with our co-hosts, and that's great. The old school, new school idea, as I mentioned originally, I love that idea. Michael Gross, I think, would be the perfect candidate for that. So, Michael, I'm throwing you out to the wolves here. I think you've already conversed with him, but he would be a great candidate to do that. He's a wrestling historian. He knows more than I do about wrestling, for sure. So he'd be your go-to guy on that. I mean, I don't mind doing it, you know, if I can find the impossible time that I have with my family and two kids and work and doing this. I mean, we're all busy. I mean, I'm not trying to say I'm busier or more important than anybody else, but I am very, very thin on time. That said, I think Michael Gross would be a great candidate if he has some time. So continue to reach out on Twitter. I do see you guys talking. That's cool. And to see old school matches and reactions from the current fans would be, that's a good concept, buddy. So I noticed in your several voicemails that you sent, number one, they're brief and to the point, which is great. I love how straightforward you are. You mentioned many times in your voicemails about Big E. One of them you didn't even have any words for. One of them you didn't even have. You just said Big E and then you sighed. That made me laugh because that's all you need to hear about Big E's character. That's all. I mean, Big E's character can be summed up in a Memphis Mark sigh. Like, that is the essence of how fans of his generation and many of mine feel about the Big E character. Now, you listen to the reaction on TV, and Vince would say, "What are you talking about? He's getting a great reaction." But you have to look at the demographic that are cheering for him. You know, it's a lot of the younger audience, the children, you know, the women. It's kind of the same ones that supported John Cena and Roman Reigns' original babyface run. It's that demo that seems to somehow hang on to this this god-awful character. Great in the ring. Finish, as I said, could be changed. But, yeah, I'm with you, man. I'm totally with you on that. You've heard me. If you listen to the show and you do, you know how I feel. You mentioned so many things. I was trying to write down at least one or two other things to respond to. And Charlotte Flair dressing like her boyfriend made me laugh. It's true. Like, Charlotte Flair has really just she's upped the sex appeal, I have to say. And while as a straight man, it's, you know, it's visually pleasing, that's not what I watch wrestling for. And some people would make the argument, well, you know, it's women's empowerment, and it's also that she can be sexy at the same time that she's powerful. Well, I agree. Like, I'm all for, you know, women just being proud of their bodies, proud of themselves. That's great. But when the message gets lost because we're so distracted about what you're wearing, that's where I think it becomes an issue in professional wrestling. Because, again, Charlotte Flair is in better shape than 99% of men and women on the planet. And props to her. But again, when your outfit becomes so distracting that we're not even listening to what you're saying sometimes because of what you're wearing, then it is a net negative. That really goes for men and women. I mean, really, you know, but that said, yeah, she does seem to be taking some attire cues from her boyfriend or fiance, for sure. Miking up the ring. I never really thought about that the wrestlers should pay more attention to where the ring is mic'd up, because I have heard several calls as well in the ring, and they try to hide it, but sometimes it comes across, and I agree, it just takes you out of the moment. I don't want to hear the calls in the ring. Nobody does. And certainly they need to be careful and aware of where those microphones are. Raw, you gave a D-, so that was That was right from the report card of Memphis Mark. So, I agree. The handshake from Big E made no sense. Made no sense at all. And I'll be glad when Big E's on to another opponent that they're not trying to be best friends with. I'll say that. So, Memphis Mark, please call back next week. Great to hear from you. And we will talk soon. Let's get to the next voicemail.
Hey, it's kind of a football tour. I just got done watching SmackDown and watched that great match between Becky and Sasha with no commercials. It was a great match, and they have great chemistry. And, you know, it made me go back to their Hell in a Cell match, too, and their, you know, they just have great chemistry no matter what they did. And then with Seth Rollins bringing that up, too, in his promo earlier about Hell in a Cell, that was very interesting. And then I forgot what he said, though, but that entire promo that he did was really cool. But, yeah, but Becky and Sasha was a great match. I enjoyed it. They have great chemistry, and it's cool that Becky won. And with Liv Morgan and the whole and just the rest of the women itself, they clearly don't care about them, which I don't understand. They have Liv Morgan out there dressing she is really attractive, you know, but I don't care about that. I care about them wrestling, but they just have the rest of the women there doing nothing, having 5-minute matches with this whole tournament thing. They had Liv lose and Toni Storm, which I don't get. They're both two of the best people that I care about. But anyway, they only care about Sasha and Becky and Bianca. And like I said, that was a great match, and it was cool to watch it with no commercials too. So, but what do you think about that entire situation with the women's division, that they just care about the three of them, Becky, Sasha, Bianca, and the rest of them is just like a who cares thing, and they need to do more with Liv Morgan, but they just don't want to, and also Toni Storm. But that's it. Peace, roll call. Bye.
Hey, what's going on, Kyle? So I'm in lockstep with you. That match with Becky and Sasha was very, very good, as expected. You got two professionals, two future Hall of Famers in the ring together in their prime. You can expect nothing less. Big fans of both women. They did an excellent job in the commercial-free 30 minutes that SmackDown had at the tail end of the show to compete with AEW Rampage. And certainly it was a really almost pay-per-view quality matchup, if not a pay-per-view quality matchup. But your point was a good one about not just the match being good, but the fact that the rest of the women aren't doing jack, you know what? They're not. But we have Carmella with a face mask. You have Liv showing up from time to time, holding the face mask of Carmella. So she's kind of in a throwaway program with Carmella. And really, what is everyone else doing? Having 2-minute matches for the Queen's Crown? It's not good. Like you said, outside of like Becky, Sasha, Bianca, and Charlotte, what do they got going on? They break up the women's tag team division. I mean, like completely dismantled it for no reason. They've reassigned the rosters. They've made the SmackDown and Raw Women's Championship possibilities just mind-numbing when it doesn't need to be. I went through that on my show last night. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, if your name's not Becky, Sasha, Charlotte, or Bianca, WWE doesn't have much for you. And that's sad. It's plain sad. Because I'm a big fan of a lot of what the other women can do. And eventually they're going to have to realize you can't just have the same rotating cast of characters. And you need new dancing partners. So they're going to be forced to. Thanks, Kyle. Let's get to the next one.
What's good? The crisis, the Washington State, and gosh dang it. Holy roll up. This week of wrestling has just been all over the place. That's really all I can say. You know, like, I am just with you, Matt. You know, like, I am really just waiting till Crown Jewel's over and we get into Friday Night SmackDown for the season premiere. You know, all the draft and all that, like, we need to know where people are at. They don't know what they're doing with the titles. They got them on different brands, the wrong people. So I've just given up this week on breaking down absolutely anything. Instead, I'm just going to be here to give you a shout out, as well as Anthony DeMarco with the rivalries, Zach Smith with the NXT reviews, Michael Ritter with the SmackDown review, Mimi Burris with the AEW reviews, and hey, big shout out to both you and, of course, Miss Ashley. Man, I know she was got to do the Raw review, the Crown Jewel, preview, all that. So, hey, big shout out to all of y'all out there doing work. And don't think I don't forget about y'all, too. You know who I'm talking about, casual wrestling fan, the resident heel. We talk about DJ Kuzma. We talk about the Patreon. Hey, I love all of y'all. I'm excited to get back to normalcy, and hopefully we'll get a sense of that this coming week. But y'all stay blessed, and I will see y'all next week.
Aha, the crisis is back this week. Good to hear from you, buddy, and thanks for all the shout-outs. I heard pretty much everybody that we have on the team here. Great stuff, and I'm a big fan of everybody we have on our team. Otherwise, I wouldn't have them on our team, and some of them have been with us nearly since day one of this WWE podcast that started in late 2017. So, this is a hell of a show that's, I think, going to grow, and I'm not tooting my own horn because there's a lot of other shows out there. Certainly. We all know who they are, right? Busted Open, constantly in the top five, right? You got The Torch, The Observer. Like, and I'm not busted on them at all. They're big for a reason. They do a great job for a reason. And it's tough to compete with those guys. But, we all share a passion for wrestling. We all share a passion for wrestling. This crazy world of just fantasy sports and sports simulation that at the end of the day really means absolutely nothing, because it's just an escape from our normal lives. And I don't mean that to say morbidly, like our lives are terrible and we just want to get, not be in them and wish we had a different life, but rather it's just an escape from the daily stresses that we all have. And that's what makes wrestling fun. That's what makes every TV show, every movie that's ever been created. That's the purpose of all of them. So, Crisis, thank you for the shout outs. Thank you for everything that you've contributed. And so please call back next week. Always great to hear from you and your positivity. I got to say, I don't know if Big E has been talking in your ear about the power of positivity, but certainly you are drinking the Kool-Aid, man. You're drinking the Kool-Aid. And I don't mean that in a bad way. So good stuff. You're a jolt of positivity here. So, all righty. Thank you, brother. And let's continue with, I believe, and I always say this, and then another voicemail pops up. Let's make double sure. Is this the last voicemail? It looks like it is. So let's see what the heck this voicemail is. It's only 19 seconds. So, oh boy, that kind of scares me when it's that short. So bear with me. This could end very interestingly. Here we go.
Oh, WWE podcast. Don't you dare be sour. Clap for the greatest mailbag show today. And feel the power. It's a new day. Yes, it is.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. I have no idea who that was, but it made me laugh. And also made me very angry, right? It was a mix of emotions flooding to me of hearing that phrase over and over for 7 years. And no one's ever done this on the podcast. I would assume that whoever did that knows how much I despise the New Day characters and want to have some fun. So you congratulate whoever you are. You achieved your goal of hilarity, of originality on the show, and also anger. Yeah. It's a lot of that mixed in there. So good stuff. All right, everybody, thank you so much for joining us here. Thank you for contributing, everybody that took the time to write in and call in. I know we're all busy. We all have lives. We all just are always ultra busy, and I do really appreciate it. This show, I will not have a mailbag show if you guys don't send your emails and voicemails in. It just wouldn't exist. So this is your show. Use it, guys. Use it. Call us if you are a new listener or you just want to contribute. You've been listening for a while and you're like, hey, I'd love to do this. Call us. 518-952-0247. Call. If you want to join that caller and taunting me, or you want to have a little more of a fleshed out response or rant, feel free. You can also email us at realwpodcast@gmail.com, as you heard the many voicemail or emails rather at the front end of the show. So that's all I got for today, guys. But tomorrow, normally I do not do a show on Thursdays. Normally I look forward to Thursdays because it's my start of a 3-day kind of rest from this show, unless I do a quick news brief, which once in a while I'll do. But normally I look forward to Thursdays because it's, again, Thursday night, Friday night, and Saturday night. I usually get to kind of chill out and unwind. But oh no, WWE has other plans for me tomorrow night as I am going to review the show of Crown Jewel. So get ready, get prepared. I'm sure y'all will be sending me your voicemails and thoughts, which I'll be looking forward to and cover on next week's mailbag, next Wednesday, the 27th of October. But until then, guys, I hope everyone enjoys Crown Jewel. Stay safe, and I'll talk to you next time. So if you guys don't know who Austin Cook is, he's a national U.S. champion in judo. He is a U.S. Open champion, a World Cup medalist, and he just launched his own YouTube channel. It's called Bad Boy Medicine. And right now, there's a promo video up there. It's only a minute long, and it's already got over 10,000 views. And there's going to be a lot more content coming. For example, he is going to be interviewing UFC champion Murilo Bustamante. So that's going to be going on the YouTube channel. Of course, on Instagram, you can also follow him at Bad Boy Medicine. Go check out the promo video as well. This is a YouTube channel that's going to grow very quickly, guys. Again, it's Bad Boy Medicine. So if you love combat sports and performance medicine, you're not going to want to miss this. So subscribe right now to Bad Boy Medicine. When the Universe Speaks Pod Show drops episodes almost every Friday. Join your hosts Mojo, the Big Gringo, and Rooster Boy for a beer review, a meme of the week, voicemails from the weirdos, and your live calls. Please like, subscribe, comment, and share their content on YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, and every social media platform. Of course, you can, of course, hear them on any podcast providers such as Apple, Spotify, Google, and you can even get stickers, t-shirts, hoodies, koozies, simply by clicking the links in the description of their show on YouTube or by shooting the guys a message. So when the universe speaks, just listen. Go to youtube.com/universespeaks. So don't wait. Go give these three Navy vets some support by subscribing to them on YouTube or any podcast platform. It is a really entertaining show. Again, that's youtube.com/universespeaks. And you can find them on Apple Podcasts and any other podcast app at When the Universe Speaks.